world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, there's a storm coming. Look, sometimes it appears in the natural as just evidence of what's really going on in the spirit. Folks, there's a spiritual hurricane rolling around us. In fact, have we been saying the last few days here at Coach Dave Live that, man, there's a lot going on. And boom, we get hit with a hurricane. Then boom, we get hit with a hurricane. And then boom, there's fires out in Wyoming and all kinds of natural disasters. And we're coming to the realization of whether we want to believe it or not, that much of this stuff is government orchestrated. You looking at me right now? How many of you out there, like me, were laughed at by your family and friends when you pointed out the chemtrails? Go back 5 years, right? 5 years, 10 years ago, you try to point out to people the chemtrails, and all of a sudden it'd be a beautiful morning, and then you walk outside, and the next thing you know, clouds are just kind of appear. Except they're not clouds; they're chemtrails, right? And you'd say to people, look at that coming out of the back of that plane. And people say, oh, that's just contrails. That's just contrails. Except they never disappeared. And they just spread and they spread and they spread and they spread. And you would try to just say to your friends, family, what the heck? What are they spraying on us? And as we sit here today, what percentage of Americans do you still think get it? To look up and say, daggone, they are spraying something on us. What is it they're spraying on us? And all of it going back to the big lie about climate change. Folks, that is going to be, they are going to use what we're seeing right now, the new hurricane that's coming, the old hurricane. By the way, I don't want to turn this into a disaster radio and talk about the hurricanes all the time. Okay, I don't want to do that. They're going to use that. And you, come on now, tell me you're with me. Tell me you're smart enough to figure it out. They're going to tell us that this is all a result of the climate getting hotter. The climate's getting hotter. And so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to get all of you people out there that are driving all those cars. We got to get you into electronic vehicles, battery-powered vehicles. We got to get you into smart cities because look at what's going on. And nobody's going to be safe because fires are breaking out. We can't stop the fires and hurricanes are coming and all you people are all spread. We got to get you into an area where we can can't you see what's going on? Huh? It's fifth generational warfare. And maybe I'll get into some of that again today. But I don't gloat. That's not the right word because I'm not happy about it. But I just kind of sometimes, I just want to sit out. I want to sit out on my front of my, you guys know where I live. Some of you know where I live. I want to sit out there at my end of my driveway and hold a sign that just says, I told you so. I want to spend about 5 days just sitting there saying, I told you so. And then after about 5 days, say, more coming. Why? Because we're in a spiritual war, folks. This ain't a weather war. We're in a spiritual war. And it's everywhere we look. And I don't want to. You guys know this, right? If you get a little fire in your grass, it's not a big deal. But if you don't put it out, it spreads. And so what happened to us is when the little fire broke out, we didn't do anything about it and it spread. And it got bigger and it got bigger. And if I do this, maybe I'll do this and I'll say I'm an Illuminati. That's what I'll do. They'll say I'm an Illuminati. But anyway, so that little fire just spread. And now it's happening in a lot of different areas and a lot of different places. And we still don't get it because most of us who go to church, if you do still go to church and you've come to the realization, I'm just telling you the truth, okay? I'm not bashing on anybody. People go to church and they realize, for the most part, sure, anybody whose eyes are open and awake, not woke, awake, understands that the church is not anyway, the church isn't awake. The church is not awake. And so if you're in any way, shape, or form awake, you can't go into a church and spend much time in there because it's frustrating. We, God's church, Spencer, I'm going to give you a real search here real quick. You just hit me. The children of the world are wiser. See if you can find that, Spencer. Jesus said that the children of the world are wiser than the children of God. And that's really, really where it is. In fact, the children of the devil, they're organizing and conniving and they're working together. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation. See, it's all generational impact we have, right? We are handing off generational ideas, generational thoughts, generational behaviors. We have handed them off to a new generation. And there was a generation of the world that were wiser than the children of light. Isn't that something? Can I say this? I know y'all love me, but I don't really care whether you do or not. Can you believe how stupid some Christians are? Somebody give me an amen. Just so I know that.
Amen.
Amen.
And you try to explain people what's going on, how stupid they are. Mm-hmm. How stupid. If they were to come with another jab, many of your friends would take it. Wouldn't they? They would take it. So I go back. Hang on. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Spencer. This is stream of consciousness here, or the Holy Spirit, if you will. I think that's the word. 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brothers. That'd be you, Jean, Betty, and Donica, and Diane, Adam. I beseech you, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by the Spirit, nor by the Word, nor by the letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Now, time out a minute, because we have misread the Bible, in my not so humble opinion. At hand. What does it mean when something is at hand? What does it mean? Does it mean it's about to happen? Is that what it means? At hand means it's about to happen? No. No. I have guns in my home that are at hand. In other words, if I need them, I got them. They're at hand. Do you understand the difference? My guns are at hand. Now, I don't have them out and oiling them and shooting them. But when the crap hits the fan, my guns are at hand. So don't be shaken then, because the day of Christ is at hand, meaning, Spencer, imminent, imminent. Look that baby up. Imminent. Imminent. There it is. Now you had it. I'm sorry, again, this is they're imminent. Literally shooting over, hence hanging over, impending, threatening, near appearing as if about to fall on, used of evil, judgments, evils, death, imminent, meaning it is ready and can happen at any time. And we've confused that. Because the day of the Lord is imminent. It is at hand. It could come at any moment. With me? Okay, go back to where we were. Where was I? I was reading 2 Thessalonians, wasn't I? So I'm going to connect a dot for you here. The day of Christ is imminent. It's at hand. It's right there like your gun. You go get it off a gun shelf. It's ready to be used. But let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, what day? What day? For that day. That day. The day of Christ. It's imminent. But that day Christ isn't going to come. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Is there a falling away going on? And that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Are we going to know who he is? It's going to be revealed. Sounds to me like we're going to know who he is. As the son of perdition. Those of us who are Christians who have eyes to see, if I'm understanding this right, I'm reading up here at my screen. We're gonna recognize it. We're gonna recognize it. So falling away, man of sin is gonna be revealed, the son of perdition. And what does he do? Hey, Spencer, that's a great word, perdition. I love words. Perdition. He's the son of perdition. Entire loss or ruin. Vinny, that'd be a boom, Vinny. Entire loss. Tell those to people down there in North Carolina. Entire loss or ruin. Utter destruction. But this says the utter loss of the soul or a final happiness in a future state, future misery. The son of perdition. If we reject the truth, we seal our own perdition.
Boom.
Wow, huh? Say, God, coach, this is why I tune in, man. Because you know what? This is a Holy Spirit revelation, whether you can understand it or not. I had no plan on doing this when I came down here. So the man of sin is going to be revealed, the son of perdition. And what's he do? He opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Now, I believe the Antichrist is a man, but I believe it's also a spirit. Spirit of Antichrist. And are we seeing that right now? Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitting in the temple of God showing himself that he is God? Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you all. Keep going. And for this cause, as we know that he that withholdeth my revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity is already at work. When was this written? Only he who now letteth is going to be let, and he's going to be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume, the spirit of his mouth. But for this purpose, I'm in the wrong spot, maybe. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, he might destroy them, right? Scroll on down, see if I'm getting there. See if I'm getting there. And for this cause, verse 11, Gino, hey, 10, stay verse 10. And for this cause, because they just told us the cause, all deceivingness and righteousness, and then the perish, because they received not the love of the truth. And because we don't love the truth, we didn't receive the love of the truth, because we as the church are part of agreeing with the lies. God's going to say, all right, he's going to send a strong delusion. Who is? Who's sending the delusion? Is the devil sending the delusion? And for this cause, underline, God shall send them strong delusion.
Boom.
And what's the strong delusion that they're going to send them? Why, they're going to believe a lie. Isn't this something? Now, what lie? Well, I could run down. If I started talking about what lie I think it is, I'd probably lose most of y'all. You probably would. You wouldn't have the stomach to tell you what I think it is. So I'm not going to tell you. But we have been taught. It says if it was possible, the very elect themselves would be deceived. Wow. I spoke to Dr. Paul Goslin yesterday. Dr. Paul gave me a call. It's good to hear from him. It's an unbelievable story. Sometime you'll probably forget. But I want you all to know this. Number one, he did not have a gun. He had no gun on him. He was shot twice. He doesn't know why he was shot twice. And it ended up where he was because he made a wrong turn, got lost, whatever. Power went out of his phone. He lost his GPS. He lost all communication. He didn't have any idea where he was. Next thing you know, he's driving slow. They surround him. This is his version of it. They surround him, and all this all happens. Someday he'll get to tell us the story, but he said he bled out. He bled out. Literally died on the gurney. made it back. I didn't get a chance to talk about that whole story, but made it back. Here's why I'm telling you that. This week, right now, the prosecutor, the judge, they're about to announce whether or not he gets paroled or not. He's lost everything. Everything he has, he's lost financially. And hopefully, we're going to pray. Lorraine, get ready. You're going to pray that Dr. Paul Goslin is going to be released. He's going to be released. He's not a threat to anybody. Wasn't a threat to anybody. But you know what? His good spirits, man. He was a good spirits. And he just asked me to have all of you pray. So, Lorraine, would you? How about you, Lorraine? Sometimes it's a good
story. I'd be honored. Lock and load.
Let's do it.
Jesus, in your name, we come before you on behalf of Dr. Paul. He is your son. He is your physician. You've given him gifts and talents that nobody can take away from him. We thank you, Lord God, that you preserved his life. We thank you, Lord God, that you are going to be his testimony, because he's overcome by the blood of the Lamb and in the Lamb. It's blood. And Lord God, we come before you, we enter your courts with thanksgiving and praise. And you are the judge. You are the righteous judge. Move on behalf of Paul, your son, in the courtroom of heaven. That Jesus, who the Son sets free, Paul is free indeed.
Amen. Amen.
That he will scream it from the rooftops that he is free. And we thank you, Lord God, because your word says, seek justice, love mercy.
Amen.
Walk humbly with your God. And that is going to be the banner over him. The banner over him is your love. Your arm is not too short to save. And that you will pour out wisdom to this judge like he's never had before. He has an encounter with you, the living Jesus Christ. That you, Jesus, speak to him in his dreams. That you speak to him when he's walking, when he's going to the bathroom, in the shower, when he's driving in his car. That you send the hounds of heaven, the angels of heaven, to surround this judge and minister to Paul as he waits to be set free. And Lord God, that you return back to him seven times what the enemy stole from him. Lord God, you know he is innocent, and he represents a lot of other folks who are innocent, who didn't do anything. And the evil one thought they could take out your voice. So Almighty God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who came from heaven into this kingdom because your son loves you, and he died on a cross for our behalf, that Lord God, that Paul will have his Easter Sunday, not Easter, resurrection. He's going to have the resurrection of a new life, and he is going to sing, and as he sings, those prison doors are going to shake wide open for him, and he's going to walk on through. We thank you for bringing deliverance for this man. We thank you, Lord God, that you have sent the Comforter, the power of the Holy Spirit, to be with Paul, but now send your Holy Spirit to this judge, so that he shows mercy and grace. And Lord God, that you deal with your enemy accordingly, because you said vengeance is mine and the vengeance belongs to you. And you will deal with your enemies accordingly, because you know exactly how to deal with them. We thank you that Paul will forgive the men who shot him, that you will deliver him from every trauma bond that comes with this, that that the enemy does not get a victory to give Paul trauma from it, that he has the peace that surpasses all knowledge and understanding that guards his heart and mind and everything that you are, Jesus Christ. And that you will hug him, because Song of Solomon says that you, your left arm embraces us and your right arm comes around us, and Paul needs you to hug him. He needs you to be with him, and he trusts in you. And thank you, Lord God, for sharing his life with ours. Because Jesus, you died for him, but you also gave him his life. So he comes up out of that grave, you turn him around, and Satan thought, the enemy thought he had him, but Jesus said, Paul is mine. So thank you that Paul knows that he knows and he knows how high, how deep, how long, how wide your love is for that man. And underneath the shadow of your wings, he did find refuge. And 10,000 will fall to his left and 10,000 will fall to his right. And he will tread upon the lion and the serpent for your glory. Thank you for filling his, where he's staying right now with your glory. Thank you for the glory that's going to be in that courtroom that testifies to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bill Dunphy, continue to pray for Bill. The Holy Spirit just prompted me, and how do I say this? You know, there's somebody's microphone's on. Maybe you can turn it off a second. There's a real arrogancy in Christianity. A lot of Christians are really holier than thou and arrogant. And I just want to ask you a question right now. Have you ever in your life done something that if it were to hit the news publicly, it would be a ruination to your life? Nobody knows that you did that. Nobody knows that. Well, here's what they like to do, because I've experienced it when we went through with the ACLU and with a lot of other issues in our life. When we see the sin of a brother of ours exposed publicly, we don't run to him. We run away from him. And the Bible says, there but for the grace of God go I. And the media could grab a hold of anything that you have done and magnify it and blast it and blow it out there. And all of a sudden, you find yourself with no Christian friends. Anybody say amen if you know what I'm talking about out there?
Amen.
Point being what? Maybe Paul screwed up. You guys believe in grace? Or do you only believe in grace for you? Do you believe in grace for him? At a time when he needs it the most? Because look, I've lived it. When publicly something like this happens to you, or a private sin gets exposed, don't sit there and tell me you don't have private sin. And a private sin gets exposed and it's in the media, I'm going to tell you something. Christians run from that person, not to him. Just telling you the truth. Could they air some dirty laundry on Paul Gosling? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They could. He needs to run to the king. We need to run to him. Not say, oh, gee, I can't deal with Paul. No. What? Yet, have you looked at your own heart? And some of the most uncaring, unforgiving people I know are Christians. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. There's none righteous. No, not one. Why do we act like we do? Think of some of the things that maybe you would have done before Christ. In other words, before you were saved. We say, what's under the blood? Yeah, well, it's under the blood, but it's not under your forgiveness or your acceptance. Oh, somebody brings that up. Oh, you're going to run from them. You know I'm telling you the truth, right? Or how about a Christian brother? My heart's heavy because I know of a Christian brother who right now is homeless who's lost everything and is homeless because some of his sin was exposed, magnified, lied about. He's living in his car. And if I told you who it was, you would be shocked. Well, some of you wouldn't. Just trust me, you'd be shocked. And I spoke to him yesterday. I've spoken to him the last 2 days, living in his car. He said, "Coach, I haven't been to church in 2 years. This guy was one of the most stalwart Christian people I knew in my life." He said, "I haven't been to church in 2 years. I've been so crushed by the church." They believed everything everybody said. They ganged up on me. I never said I was innocent, but I didn't think I deserved to be crucified. And thank you, Coach, for I didn't think I had a friend left in the world. So he told me. He said, "I'm trying to struggle to put my life back together, and I don't even know where to turn." He said, "I go to church, and church people are so judgmental." Would somebody say amen? Would somebody say amen?
Amen.
Church people,
amen.
Like, amen. Like, they never sinned, right?
Amen. Come on. Come on.
They never sinned. They never fell. See, to me, it's a tragedy that he fell. Well, he just got what he deserved. Well, God bless you. Good thing you didn't get what you deserved.
Boom.
We're the only people I know that shoot our wounded. Shoot our wounded. I'm sorry. I didn't spend so much time on this person. It's home with me. Bill Dunphy is in prison for what? Paul Gosling's in prison for what? I said, "Hey, Paul, if they thought you were such a threat, why didn't they pull out their guns and just shoot out your tires? Just shoot out your tires. You ain't gonna go anywhere with no tires on your car." I said, I know, Coach. I was gonna talk about the hurricane. I'll get to it here in a minute. I'm gonna camp here a second. Go ahead. Come on in, Paul. Or Adam, I'm sorry. Come on in, Adam.
Thanks, Coach. I think that Christians forgot that those who have been forgiven much love much, and Christians have forgot what they've been forgiven of and what they've been saved from. And that's the problem. We get so self-righteous that we become no good for the kingdom because we lose our love for others.
Do you have any idea how wicked I am? Huh? Do you guys really know that? But for the grace of God, that sin nature in me, how powerful that sin nature is. And if I knew I could get away with it, the urge to go do it and get away with it, even right now, right? Come on. They call that temptation, right? Huh? They call that temptation. See, when you get saved, you don't get rid of all those evil desires, your covetousness and your sex drive, and you don't get rid of any of that stuff. You just have power over it. Martin Luther said, once you get saved, it's like, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. And they're constantly flying over your head, and they're constantly trying to make a nest in your hair. And one of them makes a nest in your hair, and sometimes you don't even know that he did. Next thing you know, he's got a partner in there. The next thing, though, you know, you wake up and look around and say, "How did I get here?" You try to reach out a hand to somebody, and you can't find anybody to take your hand because of the judgmental Christians. Judgmentalism in the church. I was really, really convicted by my conversation with him and my conversation with Dr. Paul. Hey, let me change gears here. Neil, who had his leg amputated from the knee down, spoke to him yesterday. What a guy he is, man. What a cheerful spirit he is. He's getting his prosthesis. I think he said today he'll be ahoy, mate. What's that guy, Captain Hook? Captain who had the peg leg? Neil's be our peg leg guy. And Pennsylvania Brett is organizing a truck to take down to the area, the hurricane area. Craig is organizing a truckload to take down to the hurricane area. If you're doing something, if you're in a community somewhere and you want to get something gone, and you can find somebody, some trucker, who will take donations down to Florida for you, we will finance it. We will finance it. No, wait a minute. You will finance it. The money that you've given will finance it. So if you live wherever you live, it doesn't matter. This is something you could do. You could stand up in your community and have a donation center. But before you do that, make sure you have a truck to haul it all down. And you could set up a donation center in your community, find a trucker who will drive it down, and will pay the bill. Okay, you get that? This is an opportunity for you all to get involved and do it. And so we're going to help, although P.A. Brett's, he's raised his own money. He's raised his own money. Ohio Brett's down there. I can't even tell you the stuff that Ohio Brett's working on, of trying to get funding down there into that area. Craig. So we're here to help, man. We've raised money. We're going to continue to raise money. And we are going to put it in the hands of people who are getting stuff done. By the way, we have a good list somewhere on here. I don't know where is it. Maybe I didn't put it up there. I'll get it up tomorrow. Number seven. Pull up number seven. Then put it in the chat. Pull number seven up and put it in the chat. This is the Grindstone wish list. That if you want to buy stuff and send it to the hurricane, here's what they need. And look, they even got the prices on there. Specific things they need. I'm not going to take the time to read through them all. Put them in the chat. Stuff that they actually need on the ground for the recovery efforts. Okay, cool. Stick out in the chat so people have it. Come on in, Roger. I probably caught him in there doing what you do in the morning. Jeff, come on in, and then we'll get Roger.
Coach, you know, as I get opportunity every day to talk to probably 10 to 20 people about, and I mentioned to Pastor Bill, as they're buying these flags and hats, and every person I talk to is just angry. Can't believe it. Shocked. I talked with a pastor a couple of days ago, so I brought it up to him. He's been in the garage a couple times, which he had to flee from the garage because Pastor Bill's preaching was too much for him. He's just a love gospel, love type pastor. When I told him, like, sharing that with him, you know what he said? He looked at him with a smile on his face. He said, well, brother, at least you didn't get 20 years. Oh, my gosh, I wanted to punch him.
Rather than standing up and fighting for him now, right? We shoot our wounded. We desert our wounded.
Yeah. That's right. I tried talking to him, but he just wouldn't listen. I just wanted to smack him. So I had to walk
away. Hey, Lord, what if the Lord told Pastor Bill to go to D.C.? Do you ever think of that, Pastor? What if the Lord told him to go? Whoa, wait a minute. Who are you to judge, Pastor? That makes me sick. Weaver.
I hate to take you back to a topic you moved on from.
So no, go ahead. That's okay. It's okay.
Well, the thing we need to remember, innocent till proven guilty.
Mm.
Paul Goslin is innocent.
Amen.
Till proven guilty.
And if he is guilty, he's forgiven by Christian brothers and sisters.
And when you're a defense lawyer, what I mean by that, a person who represents the Paul Goslins of the world, I learned a long time ago, you say, well, these are mere allegations, prosecutor. These are mere allegations. So innocent till proven guilty. And these are mere allegations, prosecutor. Mm-hmm. And then finally, you know, Dave, there was a day when the Columbus Dispatch was a big paper and everybody got it. And Sunday it was a couple inches thick and, you know, I would hate for things that I've done in my life that would appear on the front page of the Columbus Dispatch.
Roger, it's happened in my life, brother. I know.
Well, it has more so than many, but, you know, none of us awaken in the morning without things that would be terribly wrong, challenging, embarrassing, lies, on the front page of the Columbus Dispatch.
Roger, it wouldn't be make people feel better if I just said, well, I had too many beers. That wouldn't forgive me, would it? You guys ever had too many beers and done something stupid?
Yeah.
We in the body of Christ, man. Look, I believe in justice. I believe paying your debt, but I believe in grace. Judgment and justice and judgment. I believe in grace. And most Christians, sorry, not most, to use a term, a lot of Christians ain't got no grace, baby. In fact, they'll whisper behind your back, you know what he did? You know he's on his third wife. Right. Come on. Own up to it. Come on. There before the grace of God go I. Dale.
Yeah, amen. Just a few different points. You know, I'll piggyback off with Roger. You know, when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you know, if you see your brother, not even to have fellowship, that whole thing. But, Coach, we miss the caveat. The golden nugget is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says, hey, this brother's repented. Now welcome him back in. See, brother, there is that time to of the reproach, but there is the time to welcome them back in. The brokenness and it is such a beautiful thing in both of those scriptures, chapter 5 and chapter 5. Amen?
Oh, so, amen.
I think you remember. Do you remember Adam Tennant? You remember Adam Tennant?
Sure.
Well, you know that he owns a company. It's called Miracle Movers out of North Carolina. He's texted me this morning, and we're talking back and forth. He is actually delivering supplies to a helipad right now that will be helicoptered in. So I'm just saying it might be somebody you need to contact with if it's somebody you're like, do we have somebody that'll deliver these supplies? He is available and willing to do that also. Amen?
Well, it's awesome, man. Huh? It's awesome. By the way, 1 Corinthians 13, isn't that the love verse? Pull that up for me real quick. Hey, folks, most people need love most when they deserve it the least. I'm going to say that again. Most people need love most when they deserve it the least.
Boom.
Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give, scrolling down, men. I'm on verse 3. You know, I give my body to be burned, don't have love, profit me nothing. Love suffers long, love is kind. Love envieth not, love vaunteth itself not. Look, I don't rejoice over anybody that gets caught doing anything. It could be me. And what would I say? What would my excuse be? I was drunk and stupid. But Coach, that was 10, 20 years ago. That's 30 years, however long, I'm 71, a long time ago. It's 35 years. Yeah, I know. I'm still ashamed. Love doesn't behave itself unseemly. It doesn't seek its own. It's not easily provoked. Love doesn't think evil, especially of other people. Ooh, I heard that. I won't say the Holy Spirit. I felt it. Love doesn't rejoice in sin. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And this guy that I talked about yesterday, not Paul, but the other guy who's lost everything, he started crying. He said, Coach, you don't know what it means to me, but you're still my friend. Lord, help us, huh? Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, now that you hit on that and Dale said that, here's what's happened the last couple of months to me. This is amazing. I've been blessed with this. Had a, you'll know the guy, I ain't going to say his name, but a pastor that owed me quite a bit of money, large amount, thousands. He came to me about a month and a half ago. It's been 3 years. He came to me, handed me an envelope of money. There was extra in there. And he said, brother, I just need you to forgive me. A pastor.
Yeah.
And I had this conversation with him, and I forgive him. I said, brother, I have to. I said, yeah. Now he's back around. He avoided me for the last 3 years. I mean, it's terrible. And he felt bad. He said, man, you could have really called me out.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That's mercy, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's mercy.
I said, but you didn't. Then a couple weeks ago, I'm sitting in the garage. Guy walks in and introduces people. We're getting ready to get started. They said, hey, what's your name? He said, Jeffrey. I walked over. I shook his hand. I said, my name's Jeffrey, too. And he laughed. He said, you recognize me? I said, no, not really. I said, you look familiar, but I can't. I don't know. He said, I went to prison and owed you money. He said, and I came after I got out of prison. He said, it took me a while, but I come and paid you back. I looked at him and I said, oh, I said, now I know who you are. And everybody sitting in the room looking, they're like shocked because this guy just said he was in prison. You know, yeah. He had that look on their faces. But now he's been in there 2 or 3 weeks in a row, and he's a great dude. But he is on fire for Christ. It's been great. Jeff,
that's why I tell people I'm an unconvicted felon. Are there any of you out there, any other unconvicted felons out there?
Amen, Coach.
Anybody else out there that throughout the course of your life did something that maybe could be regarded as a felony and never got convicted for it? You didn't get
Amen.
Nobody knew about it.
Amen.
You know who felons are? Felons are just people who got caught. That's who felons are.
And this guy said it. He said, you wouldn't believe, told the whole group, he said, you wouldn't believe the blessings that have been poured out of me since I came back and made it right with this man.
Amen.
It was amazing.
Restitution. Amen. Amen. Forgiveness. Love covers a multitude of sins. Judd, come in.
Yeah, Coach, it's love covers all sin. But there is an abomination from the Lord. Those people who have committed these crimes, they're crimes against humanity. God's got a special place, and he's going to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that have the Holy Spirit. And you know what? There is righteousness in terms of anger. And that's what some people don't understand. You know, for those people who were there on January 6th, who were eyewitnesses, most of the people who are eyewitnesses that have the Holy Spirit, we are the ones who are digging it out, digging out the truth, because we saw something in our spirit that was so completely wrong. And what's happening right now, we're seeing these huge distractions, orchestrated, planned, because they want to get us off. We're the bloodhounds that are on their arse.
Amen, Rebbe. Judd, hang on there a second. I want to build just a minute, because I put it in my notes this morning. How come there's 1,000 J6ers in jail and we still don't know who's on that Epstein list? Go ahead, Judd.
So people are bloodhounds on their trail. There's more and more distractions. So we got this one. We got this next hurricane. We got 27 days. And just yesterday, Mr. Christian himself, Mike Mason Johnson, told the whole world in his press conference, there will be no more release of J6 films. They've all been released. He lied straight to the entire world. You know what that means? They are hunkering down and they're about to get into their foxholes and bunkers because they're going to stonewall Donald Trump.
Boom.
I'm telling everybody, tell the world, the next 27 days, people need to get prepped. They need to get prepared because it is on. And if they throw more rain, they throw more mudslides, they throw God who knows what, whatever else. We're going to have to go through this fire and come out the other side with God as our witness, standing with him and walking with him in righteousnessly. But I'm telling you what, some people at some point, it's not going to be pretty.
And ain't nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Go to number 9 for me real quick, because most of you don't even know this is going on. Number nine, wildfires out in Wyoming. Did you guys know this? You've been hearing much about this. Hurricanes down in Florida, wildfires up in Wyoming. Why? Folks, they're trying to make the land uninhabitable. Do you understand? You understand they're trying to get us into smart cities? You understand? You understand what's going on? Go ahead, play this real quickly.
This now on the wildfires burning across the Cowboy State. As of Tuesday morning, the Elk Fire northwest of Dayton was over 25,000 acres in size at 0% containment. Officials from Bighorn National Forest and InSWEB report U.S. Highway 14 remains closed from Dayton to Burgess Junction. In Sheridan County, Pass Creek Road, Twin Creek, Smith Creek, and Tongue River Canyon Road are all closed. Evacuations remain in place as well. Firefighters are working to build a line around the fire. For continuing updates on fires, closures, and evacuations, visit yourwyominglink.com. Here's the latest on the Fish Creek and Pack Trail fires.
You can pull it down. Now, wait a minute. Not done yet. Pull up number eight. Another orchestrated storm. Did you know that right now that Milton, they say, is the fourth largest hurricane on record? Fourth largest hurricane on record. This is, by the way, this is the Weather Channel. This is the Weather Channel. Did you guys happen to see yesterday the highway, the evacuation road are bumper to bumper, and people are running out of gas trying to get out of Dodge? You know, that's going on. What's going on? And then I saw a guy say, oh, boy, this is powerful. He says, when that storm created and magnified, when that crosses across the Florida through Tampa Bay, cross goes out and hits the water again of the Atlantic Ocean, that baby's going to start again, go right up that Myrtle Beach. Sorry, Roger, up that Myrtle Beach area, up through that's going to go all up. Play this real quickly. Milton expected to bring potentially life. Huh? Are you kidding me? Coming to the same
area. Dangerous Category 5 Hurricane Milton is heading toward Tampa Bay and will likely make landfall as a major hurricane late Wednesday night into early Thursday morning. Tropical storm force winds could arrive as early as Wednesday afternoon, and hurricane force winds will start impacting the city late Wednesday night. Time is running out, so if you are ordered to evacuate, please do so ASAP. A life-threatening storm surge of 10 to 15 feet will be possible for Tampa Bay if peak surge coincides with high tide. A few tornadoes may develop Wednesday and Thursday as the outer rain bands move in, so make sure you have a way to get warnings if issued. Highest rain totals will vary widely depending on landfall location. However, flash flooding and river flooding look likely.
Tennessee. 60 inches in Tennessee. Huh? Okay, you can pull that down. I can pull that down. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear, man. There's a let me show you some good stuff here. Pull up number six for you. Did you guys see this? Something really wicked going on. Do you see this helicopter came in, hovered over this relief area? Not FEMA relief area, just normal people relief area. Watch this. What's that all about, huh? Yeah, play that one. The helicopter flew in and just, there's a devil out there. Jack, come on in. I need 2 hours today. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, probably take about 3 hours. Okay, Judah, somebody should ask Mike Johnson, the J6 videos, I'm still waiting for the videos from the most secure building in the world, the Pentagon, in 9/11. Come on, people. We got to demand transparency. These people are supposed to work for us. And here we are still.
Who shot Kennedy? Anybody know? We know anything about that yet? Have we picked up on that one yet?
Well, Trump released all that. Sure.
Yeah, he was going to, right? He's going to. I've got to keep that hidden. Why? Because I think the former president of the United States, George Daddy, Grampy Bush, he was head of the CIA at the time. Isn't that unbelievable? Come on in, Kevin.
Well, the video that you just played with the helicopter, they tracked it down, and it turns out that helicopter, it's a Black Hawk, is assigned to the Connecticut Army National Guard. And we're trying to figure out who gave these guys the order to come in and prop wash that area. And I don't know if you saw, there's another instance of this happening in North Carolina, but they used a Chinook, which is a twin prop Chinook, And it came down and did over $100,000 worth of damage and sent three people to the hospital.
Yeah. So we got an enemy, and it isn't who we think it is.
Yeah. Who the hell side are these guys on anyway?
Whose side are they on? That's a good thing about those good old boys when we're down there in Tennessee. They don't want the government around them anywhere. They ain't looking for the government. Go ahead again, Judd.
Yeah, again, not muckraking here, but it's a valid question. So Mike Pompeo is the one who went to Donald Trump. And
former
said,
CIA
hey,
director, former CIA director.
Christian. We do not want to release these files because they're that bad. I'm just throwing this out there, and this is information, firsthand witness.
Yep.
Why would Gary Andronicus see meeting with Mike Pompeo on January 6th in D.C.? Mm. Just a question.
Just a question. Claudine.
Valid question.
Claudine.
Hey, Coach. Hey, you know, this is also for Kevin out there. 2 days in a row now, Blackhawk going all over our area. We've got nothing going on. In New Hampshire, in Milton, New Hampshire, by the way. Milton, that is. So why are we getting Blackhawk choppers flying around over here? What is going on? We've never had that before.
Something going on. By the way, okay, hang on. I'm a bevy of information this morning. Bring up number four. Is that one I want? Make sure that's the one I want. Yeah, bring up number four. No-go zones in America. Do you know that, folks? This courtesy of Bobby Lee. Go ahead and play this. You guys know the man in America here. I got a lock up with him. He lives in Zanesville. Go ahead. Yeah, get away from the advertisement at the beginning.
10% off of everything. Right?
Everybody's so trying to make money,
off
man.
Your water, your water bricks, 15% off your books.
That's
on
not
gardening,
the beginning.
15% off of seeds. Like the, you know, they have these mission on biological diversity. The wildland is this map. Okay? So this is what they call the simulated reserve and corridor system to protect biodiversity, right? So it says, as mandated by the Convention on Biological Diversity, the Wildlands Project in the U.S. and U.N. So there's a collaboration really driven by the U.N. to put together this map. Now, this map is key. I'll explain it to you if you haven't seen it before. So what they're showing here is if you zoom down in here, okay, here we have our guide to the map. I apologize to the listeners, podcast, you'll be able to see this, but you can still listen in. So the red areas are earmarked as core reserves and corridors, so little to no human use. Yellow is buffer zones with highly regulated use. So if you look at this map and you think
about
it,
yellow,
so
red
and yellow are basically off. Off limits for people like you and I. Red and yellow are off limits. So the only place that you and I can live are the green, the normal use, the zones of cooperation, aside from Indian reserves or military reservations. So the green are the only places that humans are, on this map, the green are the only places that the humans are allowed to live in America. Now, this is a map that was put up by the UN, okay? Now, the black dots are the cities, right? Those are the dense cities of over 10,000 people. So what you see, though, is that their goal is that most of America is actually uninhabited, that a large, large portion of our country is off limits to us. Like, this is the goal. So when you look at this, right, you look at, okay, this the bigger agenda of this, and you think, okay, why are they destroying land? Why are they buying up farmland? Why are they burning down national parks? Why are they wrecking beautiful regions of our country with hurricanes and natural disasters and, you know, dew-started fires? Why are they doing this? Because they don't want us living on the land. They want to force us into these 15-minute cities, and so that you have zones. It's like Hunger Games type stuff, right? So this is the plan. But the thing is that I really believe that their plan is failing. Like, I really do believe that their plan is failing and that they're getting very desperate. I really, really, I, that is my,
I
to
okay,
my
stop.
Core.
Hey, can somebody help me out here? Somebody put that in the chat. The Georgia Guidestones, what was, did they say on the Georgia Guidestones Population of what?
500,000. 500 million.
500 million was their goal. Folks, it's right out in front of us. I was thinking about this. Maybe you can help me. How come not one Republican, if they're the good guys, is doing anything about chemtrails? Do they not see them? Do they not know? Certainly they know more than I know, don't they? Don't you think that your congressman, I hope he knows what I know. Maybe they don't. But now we know that they can control the weather. Chemtrails everywhere. Have you seen anybody anywhere say no chemtrails? They did in one state. Was it Arkansas? Where was it? What state did they say no more chemtrails? Somebody help me out.
JFK saying it.
And New Hampshire.
Yeah, New Hampshire passed a law. I thought it was Texas, but maybe it was Tennessee.
No. Well, how come this isn't going on everywhere? If this is what they're using to manipulate it, right? If this is how they're doing it, well, how come nobody on our team is standing up and saying, we got to stop this crap. We got to stop it. This is why I get so excited, because the evidence is becoming obvious to those of us who have eyes to see and ears to hear. So all of this exposing that's going on is of the Lord. Remember, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And as awful as it looks, I told my wife this morning, as awful as it looks, as bad as it's going to get, it's exciting. Because good's going to come out of it. This whole system has to be undone and redone, folks. It has to be. This Washington, D.C. against the rest of us, we're not going to survive as a country if that continues to go on. And that's why the next election seems to be so important. Who hadn't been in here yet? Claudine was in here. Everybody's been in here. Go, Claudine. I like women.
All right. Thanks, Coach. So, the bill for chemtrails, we got laughed out of. It never did pass. So we're back at it again this coming season, but providing we all make it back in. But what's really interesting is tomorrow is veto day. So the governor has about, I don't know, a dozen bills he's vetoing. And one, tell me why. It passed unanimously through the House in the Senate of New Hampshire to get rid of nitrogen inside fertilizers that are ruining the lake. They're causing all these overgrowth type of grass and stuff that's killing our lakes in New Hampshire. All lakes have this. It passed. I mean, it was huge. And now our so-called governor is vetoing it. Why? We want to ruin our lakes? Like, why?
Corporate fascism, that's what I'd say. Follow the money. At the end of the day, there's always a pile of money. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, a little follow-up on that map. The first time that map was exposed was by Michael Kaufman to a congressional hearing in the 90s, which stopped because it was so radical. It stopped the biodiversity treaty vote that day, and it was just by minutes that he did it. And he's a great guy from Bangor, Maine, that nobody knows. And we tried to get Paul LePage to make him our environmental guy in Maine, which would have saved us millions and millions of dollars. But Paul nominated Bill Beardsley for the job, who had ruined Alaska. That's why we fail, because Republicans don't have principles.
So here it is, folks, whether you understand it or not, at the bottom of all this is earth worship. It's all earth worship. And if you look at all the changes they're trying to make in America, they're trying to do it through what? The environment. And at the heart of it is earth worship, folks. It's paganism at its finest, masquerading as science, masquerading as climate concerns, masquerading as all this other stuff, when the end result is they worship Mother Earth and paganism. And if all comes back to, as we've said many, many times here, seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. And the problem we're in is the seed of the woman doesn't mind forfeiting all of this to the seed of the serpent, because we win in the end. See you tomorrow.